Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Evident Footprints. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, as you heard in the introduction. And today is January the 29th on the East Coast, 1 a.m. Of course, on the West Coast, it is still January 28th, 10 p.m. in a couple of minutes, 10:02, something like that. I'm happy to be back live. As I broadcast last week, I spent several days in the Central Florida area. We had a Ron Paul rally at the Haven in Winter Park, Florida, on the 23rd, last Wednesday. A very successful event. A lot of people turned out. The music was absolutely fantastic. And the speech, primarily by Fred Badali, who sponsored the event out of his own pocket and co-hosted the event with the club owners, Peter and Maria Nelson. And I want to give a shout-out to them, as well as David, Aaron, and Josie. Those are some of the people that took care of us while we were out there. They were very, very accommodating, very generous, and very gracious hosts. And we want to acknowledge their great contribution to the Ron Paul presidential campaign. Now, we had some difficulties with the stream that we were sending out. Evidently, the NSA probably got a good look at it, and Lord knows where who else. But finally, we were able to at least bring the video online about 11 o'clock at night. It was a nightmare, and I want to thank Don Newsom and Seth Hendrick for their patience in trying to make this thing work. Also, we should thank Jeff, who was the gentleman that was assisting us in coordinating this whole event over the internet. He spent quite a bit of time. We got our money's worth out of the rental fee of the TriCaster unit that we used to stream the event. What I can tell you, despite that somewhat of a failure in streaming, that we are producing a DVD of the whole event, and we're going to be streaming snippets of that on BBS Radio website. You'll be able to access the clips that we post there, and hopefully you will invest in the DVD. We would like to be able to contribute some of the proceeds beyond the expenses that we incurred to Ron Paul's campaign. It's definitely worth seeing and hearing just for the music's sake, but we are also going to incorporate some photographs of all the participants of the event as well into the video, so you can see what Ron Paul supporters look like around the world, and they don't look like anything like what Fox News describes us as. So I want to again thank Fred Badali, Peter and Maria Nelson, and all the employees at the Haven, as well as all the Ron Paul meetup groups from Florida who attended the event. It was a success, and we have some other projects planned for the near future. So hold on to your seats, because we're just getting started. Now, I thought it would be appropriate to read an email that Ron Paul sent out to his supporters before I go on with the rest of the show tonight. And I got some things that I want to discuss from a discernment point of view. And with that said, I'll go into this email dated January 28th. And this is to the supporters of the Ron Paul campaign. Now I quote from the from this communication. When I started this campaign more than a year ago, I was somewhat reluctant I was a somewhat reluctant candidate. I knew our message of freedom, peace, and prosperity was the right one for our country, but frankly, I didn't know how many people today would have ears to hear it. Well, did I learn a lesson? Millions of Americans understand what ails our country and what is needed to fix it. So, with you at my side, I am in this effort to win, not only by building the ideas of liberty, but by getting the nomination. Our opponents would call that nuts. You know, the advocates of more inflation, more spending, more taxes, more war. But let me explain why they are, as usual, all wet. For one thing, for the first time since 1952, we are headed towards a brokered convention. Instead of a coronation of one of the establishment candidates, the delegates, influenced by the people, will decide. And I am afraid that this will take place in a time of heightened economic crisis. That means even more Americans will be ready to hear our message, but it also means I am really going to need your help. One would never know this from the mainstream media, but we've only had a few primaries and caucuses, and even after the extremely important date of February 5th, we will still have more than half to go. And the Republican nominee will not be decided by the popular vote among the leading candidates. In a few states, also handpicked by the media, the nominee will be decided by the delegates. So let me tell you a little bit about our under-the-radar strategy to get those delegates. On Super Tuesday, February 5th, there will be 22 primaries and caucuses. I have a hunch that we're going to do very well, but of course, the media and the rest of the establishment refuse to recognize that. It's the attitude of the small child who covers his eyes to make something scary go away. But we are not going away. While the media focus on the couple of states they claim are important, we're competing everywhere. And the reason that we're able to do that is because of your grassroots support. You all are an asset that no other campaign has. Donors and activists who want no special deals from the government, just the Constitution. We're competing very strongly in all the caucus states and in all other states where delegates are up for grabs. And we're going to keep picking up delegates. Our strategy's already working. And we're committed to winning states. I have little doubt that if we can double our efforts in this coming week, we're going to grab many delegates from other candidates. Then we'll start getting ready for the biggest moment of all, the convention in September. The path to the convention's twisty, however. When we were in Iowa, we got 10% of the vote, but no delegates were awarded that night. That's because voters didn't directly choose national convention delegates. They selected the county and state delegates who will make that decision. And if another candidate like Mike Huckabee is no longer in the race at the time of the state convention in June, his delegates are free to support whomever they want. If we work extra hard, we can convert them into delegates for our campaign. A similar thing happened in Nevada. We won 14% of the straw poll vote that the media reported on, but what they didn't tell you was that we may have gotten up to a third of Nevada's delegates to their county conventions. I always laughed when I heard some people say Nevada didn't matter. Nevada chooses more delegates to the national convention than South Carolina. So, while the media will focus on the results from Florida and probably take down the campaign of my friend Rudy in the process, those results are less important to you and me. Let them fight in Florida while we bring our message to Americans in other areas, like the economically hard-hit state of Maine. We want to win as many delegates to the Republican National Convention as possible, even if other campaigns don't see some areas of the country as important. But in this work, I need your help. Help me get many, many delegates to this historic convention by these three methods. Number one, donate. Your generous contributions are essential if we're going to keep going until September. We need, frankly, $5 million by February 5th to run more TV and radio ads in the Super Tuesday states. Your help means everything. And he gives the website https://www.ronpaul2008.com/donate. Now, that S after the HTTP indicates that that is a secure site. So if you intend to donate, it is secure. Number two, Canvas. You can help us identify those who support our message in your precinct. You can help us to convert others, too. After all, your neighbors pay attention to you. I am going to visit as much of the country as I can, but I need you as my partner in your area. And there, you can visit the website, https://voters.ronpaul2008.com. Number three, ask others to sign up on our website. I meet so many people on the campaign trail who don't even receive my letters. I've told my campaign to make communication with you, the engine of all this, much better. But if the people don't sign up for my emails, that won't happen. If you could just get one extra person to sign up, that would be great. More would be tremendous. Help me by forwarding this email to every other Ron Paul supporter you know and urging them to join our efforts. And again, the website for that is https://www.ronpaul2008.com/join. We've come so far, but now the fun is really starting. I have a feeling the mainstream media will move from ignoring us to attacking us, but that will be a sign of our success. Join me as we continue this great movement into year two and to a hot convention in Minneapolis, St. Paul. We can do it. Sincerely, Ron. And that is a message from Ron Paul. Now, interestingly, that message was preempted by in a way by the media with the state of what I call the State of the Onion address. Now everyone knows that the real word is union, but I call it onion because we're going to peel back some of the layers of the onion to expose the real truth behind the president's message this evening. Now, I took no notes on the message. In fact, I was quite angered by what I heard because it was nothing but propaganda and spin, the same spin the media's put out. In fact, it was intended for the media just to alert them to what issues were going to be discussed. I heard various references to the fact that no one knew what the president was going to talk about, yet as the event transpired and the president was naming various groups sitting in the audience as guests, what I noticed is that the director of the whole event, and I'm speaking from a TV production standpoint, knew exactly where to point the camera. In fact, he pointed the camera before the people were even mentioned in the speech. So they obviously knew what was going to be said, even though they tried to make believe that they didn't know. That shows that, again, that the media is very conspiratorial in everything that goes on, and what we see and what we hear is very controlled. Why is that important to us? Because the spin I heard in the State of the Onion address was nothing but propaganda, nothing but lies, nothing but misrepresentations, nothing but falsehoods, nothing but concealment and deception. I heard little or no truth in the whole message. At one point, the smirk on the president's face made me think I was watching a performance of the comedian Frank Caliendo, who's made himself famous with that impersonation and one of John Madden, the one where he says something and he gets a Cheshire Cat grin on his face and moves his head up and down like a bobblehead. I saw that look in the State of the Onion address, and I thought, boy, he's got the Republican side of the aisle standing up and applauding every other sentence, And it seemed like they were all under mind control or on some kind of mind control drug. Now, to the contrary, the Democrats didn't acknowledge many of his statements, but it was every time there was some mention of a war, every time the ruse about Osama bin Laden was brought up and how bin Laden is putting out these movies and everything, we know the truth behind it. We know bin Laden has been dead since 2001. We know this. So to state in 2007 in the State of the Onion address that he is still alive is a lie. Point blank, it's a lie. Now, the world's most advanced army or military cannot locate this man, a cave dweller, is absolutely ridiculous. And they're obviously just releasing these videos whenever they want to put a little bit of a scare into people who have somehow forgotten about 9/11 in 2001. That's my take on those comments. Now, he pressed the issue about Iran still trying to develop nuclear weapons, although Iran has repeatedly said that they will not develop nuclear weapons. It's not their intention to do so. And we have received warnings from China, and we received warnings from Russia that if we attack Iran, that we're going to pay and suffer the consequences of such an attack. Although Israel is trying to provoke the attack, the United States is being held at ransom with the stolen $47 trillion that is part of the Leo Wanta money, the duplicated, hypothecated funds that have been the real cause of the banking scandal going on. And I listened to the president say how wonderful the economy is doing, and that in the next sentence he's talking about how we have to do something to create jobs for all the people who have been forced out of work, never taking the responsibility for shipping all the corporate jobs out of the country, so all the military industrial corporations can make money on cheap labor in foreign countries such as China and Mexico. There's absolutely no reference to Mexico other than the fact that they're going to continue to protect our borders as they let illegal aliens come in and take our jobs, the jobs that Americans won't do. Now, we've been forced out of work. Why? Because we won't do these jobs, or because the companies left the country, these mega corporations that are making money hand over fist, tax-free money. Now, if I sound angry, it's because I am, and you should be too, because we've been lied to again. I'm going to peel some more layers off of the onion right now. And there was a reference to illegal aliens bringing drugs in, but there was no reference at all to the Border Patrol guards who have been incarcerated for shooting a convicted drug smuggler, and now I hear a convicted murderer in Mexico in the rear end doing their job while he was trying to smuggle 743 pounds of marijuana in a van into our country. Why is it that the people that are doing the right thing are the ones that end up in jail or in prison and railroaded through the prison with false testimony, cooperation of a person that has no business being here? Why is an illegal alien drug smuggler allowed to testify against two Border Patrol guards? The insanity of this is overwhelming. And then we're told, well, we have to protect the borders. We're going to continue to monitor the borders. It's a bunch of crap. And I have to mind my tongue because I am speaking to a large number of people on the radio. That's not the word I really want to use to describe it. Now, we listen to the promise of no child left behind and a false statement that math scores are higher than they've ever been. Let me tell you something that went on in my hometown. They released 246 teachers from the payroll in the schools. These people were laid off. They're without work because the scores have never been lower. And that includes math. So that was a lie. Let's peel another layer off, okay? And they talk about the AIDS crisis and health care and Social Security. They're giving our money away, our Social Security payments that we have contributed, along with all the taxes that we've paid, are being given to illegals coming into the country. And I'm all for creating jobs for people who are here legally, but I'm not interested in making them legal by law just for the purpose of driving the middle class or bringing the middle class to its knees. I'm not for that, and I don't think any of the listeners are for that. And if you are, you know where your dial is. Now, more recently, in the last few weeks, I've come across people that say, well, you're against Hispanics, or no, I'm not against Hispanics. Not at all. An illegal alien is just that, and it doesn't matter where they're from. If they're illegal, they should not be here. They snuck into the country, they've been aided and abetted into entering the country clandestinely, secretly, sometimes 30 or more people living in a garage or living in an apartment, sleeping in the bathrooms, in the hallways, on the kitchen floors. I saw it when I lived in California. And I reported my next-door neighbor who had some 20 people living in an apartment then, when we didn't even have this crisis going on. But it was already secretly, covertly underway. They were sneaking these people into the country. I had a family of Colombians living next door to me. One man was practicing acupuncture on his 5-year-old grandson just because he worked as a janitor in an acupuncturist's office. He thought he was an expert. And got rid of the guy, finally. The guy was barbecuing using old socks as fuel and barbecuing on his front porch with the smoke blowing into my front door and windows. The crime rate in Los Angeles since this debacle of and this exodus from Central and South America of all of these illegal aliens, since this has happened, the crime rate is attributed to 97% of the illegal aliens. And we're talking about robberies, assaults, homicides, car accidents, car thefts, burglaries of stores, rape of women and children. Not to mention they're giving these people free health care, they're giving them free education, they're setting them up in apartments, they're selling or getting them into houses with no credit. And you have this anomaly going on where they don't have to produce a Social Security number to get a loan, but if you're an American, you sure have to do that. Why the double standard? First of all, they have no business being here. We have procedures in the law for entering the country and becoming a citizen, a naturalized citizen. You have a duty to learn the language. You have a duty to take a test and pass the test to show that you understand the history. Well, our history has been written by the CIA, so we know where that is. And the president's talking about protecting our borders and starting up new jobs. How are they going to do that? Where's the money going to come from? Are they going to take it out of thin air, or are they going to take it out of the trillions of dollars that they're stealing right now, preventing from going into the treasury, which could be earning at a minimum, if they give Leo Wanta his $4.5 trillion, that will put $1.575 trillion into the U.S. Treasury on the books, and it will accrue $200 billion a day in interest alone. But instead, they choose to spend billions and even now trillions in Iraq, murdering millions of people and exposing our soldiers to every kind of biological weapon and depleted uranium. And I know they listen to the show, so they know I'm telling the truth. This is why no one is silencing me, because I'm telling the truth. And to draw attention to the fact creates a debate and it creates an argument and draws attention. So they prefer to keep me on a list like every other talk show host that tells the truth about what's going on. I'm incensed by it, and you should be too. Now we hear about the liberty. Liberty, what is liberty? In the military, liberty is a weekend pass or maybe a couple hours pass. To get off of a ship or to be allowed to go into town and get drunk and get in a brawl and maybe get arrested, or maybe, if you're lucky, just get home, back to the barracks with a hangover to start your job the next day. That's what liberty is. It's a temporary permission. So the use of liberty is intended to get us used to the permission that they're giving us. Excuse me. We have as much right to be on this planet as they do. And we don't have to take orders from them, especially when they violate God's laws. Of course, they've taken God out of the schools. They're trying to take God out of the church. Literally, they're trying to take God off the planet. And you have these people that are, they're saying, well, if you're going to be fair and square and level across the board, then you have to give the Jews as much recognition, or you have to give the Muslims as much recognition, and or anyone, the Baha'is, I don't care what the nationality of anyone is or what religion they're practicing. We all have God-given rights to worship as we see fit, not to be told by an autocracy, not to be told by a monarchy or by a dictatorship. And if you people can't see by the speech that was given tonight that it's a setup and a bald-faced lie hiding what the president's very father said way back in the early 1990s in front of the UN, that it's time for a new world order. Those were his exact words, a new world order. And these are the people at the bottom and the top of the embezzlement of trillions of dollars. They're murdering people around the world. They're murdering leaders, whether they're dictators or not. They're behind the murders, the assassinations, as they like to call them. They're behind the corruption between governments and the banking industry. And this has been reported many, many times, and I've talked about it on this show many, many times. And I will continue talking about it until people finally start waking up and do something about it. They talk about health care while they poison our food and our water and our air. Talking about new energy technology now, coal. Coal. How many hundreds of years have we been using coal? And how much does coal stink up the atmosphere? And it's talking about advanced technology. And talking about promoting new developments. They murdered Nikola Tesla in 1943. The most prolific inventor in the history of the world was murdered. And they've been using his technology against the people on this planet ever since. Long before his murder, by the way. But ever since his murder, that's what they've been doing. They lie to us about the space program. They lie to us about the technology that's available to us. And anyone who comes out with technology, and I heard the president speak these words, and I'm peeling another layer off the onion, I recall a man from California, and I don't remember his name at the moment, but he developed an engine on water, and it was described to me that he drove 3,000 miles on 8 ounces of water and was feted and awarded by some dignitaries in Washington and then murdered. And of course, his invention was suppressed. Now, you best believe that they found their own secret clandestine use for that invention. But will we see the technology? No. We will not see it. More and more people are coming forward, seeing flying saucers and seeing visitation from beings from other planets. And they're called wackos and kooks, yet this is where all the money is going. So we have these double standards, we have these lies being told to us left and right. We're told, give money to the Hurricane Katrina Fund, but they don't tell you how they funnel this money through the Council on Foreign Relations. And who was involved, including Henry Kissinger. What did he have to do with that event? The event that Dick Cheney, the vice president, described as, we're on top of this exercise. There's evidence that they blew the levees and intentionally flooded New Orleans so the insurance companies wouldn't have to pay for the hurricane damage because none of the people could afford and none of the people had flood insurance. Those that did lived on high ground and were not risked at all or at risk by the floodwaters. Did they rebuild the city? Absolutely not. Did they collect money? They collected billions. And where is that money going? The city's still in disrepair. There's still some 22,000 trailers parked in other states that were built and given for the purpose of finding housing for these people. Even if it was temporary, it was never used. There was no mention of underground bases and underground tunnel systems. There was no mention of all the abducted children that are being used for sadistic biological experiments in these underground bases. Absolutely no mention of that. Of course, you couldn't mention that. I could swear I saw glimpses of the president's face shape-shifting as he came out, before he actually took the dais and began his speech. And there's plenty on the internet you can Google the word shapeshifters, and you'll come up with a whole series of video. And this is not doctored video. It's about time we see who these people really are. And I'm not the only person on this network that refers to these people as reptilians or shapeshifters. You should be insulted just by the base language they use and the elementary lies and the repetition of the lies. You listen to a speech. Those of you who heard the speech tonight, recall on the morning of September 11th, 2001, the same person that gave the speech tonight was holding a book about a goose upside down in a third grade classroom. And the kids were, and this is not to knock the kids, but it was such an advanced reading class that the kids had to beat on their desks to time the words. Quite an unnatural way, I think, to read. It wouldn't go over well in a library, but it was put forth to us as this is some kind of groundbreaking way for kids to learn to read. And still the president sat there after being told that the World Trade Center was hit by an airplane, so he was told. So he says he was told. He's holding a book upside down. Obviously, the man was disturbed by what had happened. Disturbed because he was not in power. Someone else had taken power. Most likely, it was Dick Cheney who took power. Most likely, it's the same person who has stolen money from the president, money the president has stolen from our government, from our treasury. Read Christopher Story's work on worldreports.org. Go to my website, Direct Light Productions. Read what I posted there. Some of Christopher's work as well as some of my own. Read the truth about what's going on, and then listen to the president's speech. I've never heard so much mumbo-jumbo and spin as from one person as I did tonight. Talking about, now, understand, folks, I am pro-military, but my first wish for the military is to do its duty and protect our country. And going out and killing millions of people in foreign lands is not a way of protecting our country. Men, women, and children are needlessly dying, needlessly being displaced, needlessly being maimed for life in a variety of ways with all the experimental weapons that they're using. We received pictures a year ago of children with the most horrific burns on their faces. I was told that those were neutron bombs that they used in Fallujah. Then we have the sadistic, satanic torture of prisoners at Abu Ghraib, and the same thing is going on in Guantanamo Bay, and the president says, we don't believe in torture. And we have Ed and Lane Brown, so-called tax protesters, who have been arrested and imprisoned, finally, a little over a month ago, Ed Brown is being tortured. The very day that the president says they don't believe in torture, Ed Brown is tape recorded in a phone conversation in the prison where he is, and he doesn't even know what prison he's in because they're driving him around the country, shackled, with his neck shackled to his feet as a form of torture. He was gassed for 15 hours. He described that, where he couldn't breathe. His throat was raw, and he had to lie on his face and try to breathe air that was somehow coming underneath the door, a crack at the bottom of the door. Well, we don't torture. And there are films on the internet of waterboarding, the new technique they use to get people to talk, where they put a rag over their face and continuously pour water over their mouth and their nose so they can't breathe. If they breathe, they take in water. And it simulates drowning. That's not torture. And they require soldiers to go through that training, so they know what it feels like, but that's not torture. And those that survive it say it's torture. They thought they were going to die. What is it if it's not torture? I could go on and on and on about this, but it doesn't even deserve that much attention. Open up your eyes, folks. They're replaying it nonstop, and of course they have the pundits there. They have the various representatives of Congress there. I got to see three reptilians sitting in a triangular position on the camera. The most evil-looking people I've seen together in a long time, sitting right there, paraded for a solid hour in front of the country, as lie after lie spewed out of the president's mouth. Just accusations against foreign countries and people from foreign countries talking about democracy. Do we have democracy in this country? Is this the cookie cutter that they're trying to pattern? Because if it is, then they're just trying to establish their new world order in Iraq and Afghanistan as well. There was, of course, you know, we heard about how evil the Taliban were, and how evil the Al-Qaeda is in Afghanistan, and that we had to go in there to flush him out. Well, the Taliban came back. How did that happen? It had something to do with the fact that they were so busy dealing with the drugs, or they never left. They just told us what they wanted us to know. We don't know if the Taliban are back or not, but if they are, they're definitely not a threat. They're no more a threat than the Al-Qaeda are. Al-Qaeda was a creation of the CIA. We know that. But do they tell us the truth and state that? No. Do they tell us they met with Osama bin Laden under the cover name, the alias Tim Osman, in 1986? With Ted Gunderson and Ralph Olberg and Michael Reconosciuto in the Hilton Hotel in Sherman Oaks, California, where they gave him cash, computers, computer software, the Promise software, Chinese Stinger missiles. They gave him. They took him for a tour of a weapons depot and let him put together a shopping list with the promise that he would report back to Michael Reconosciuto so Reconosciuto could evaluate the efficacy of the missiles that they sold. These missiles were designed only to take out helicopters. This was to be used against the Russians who had invaded Afghanistan. They had trained, they had recruited, they had created Al-Qaeda. And yet they portray Al-Qaeda to be this boogeyman that we should be afraid of. And they're about to pass laws to stop me and others who were speaking the truth from speaking the truth. They attack anyone who speaks the truth now. That's their new ploy. Is that democracy? Is that liberty, to use the words that the president used? What is democratic about that? To me, that's fascist. That's what Lenin practiced when he murdered millions of people in the Soviet Union. Millions he murdered. He murdered in a span of a day or two, he murdered 44,000 of his best officers in the military. to prevent a coup. This is the type of insanity that they feed us. And now the blame for the world's economy, which is, it's having a bit of a problem, but we have a great economy here in the United States, the president said. But there's some problems in the world. Okay, he didn't refer to this specifically, but now they're blaming the implosion of the world economy on a French stockbroker, a young kid who supposedly sold vanilla contracts to the tune of $7 billion. This destroyed the world's economy. While they're in the process of racking up a debt rapidly approaching $1.5 quadrillion. That's how much the Federal Reserve is upside down. That means in the red. $1.5 quadrillion. But they're saying, but we're going to create these jobs. We're going to give you the money. Where is this money coming from, folks? It's coming from thin air. They're making it out of thin air. And you hear Ron Paul talking about doing away with the Federal Reserve and the IRS, and they want to further drive the economy down with this insanity, this absolutely insane way of running a nation's economy, creating the money out of thin air, nothing to back it up. Just create some more. Just spread it around. Eventually, it has to collapse, and that's really what they want to happen. But before the election, they have to do one little thing. So what are they going to do? You fall into this very low income bracket, you get a $300 check. You're a little bit higher, you get a $600 check. If you have a few kids and both parents are working, you might get as much as $2,400. That's nothing. That's nothing. Someone calculated that to send those checks out would cost $73 million just to send those checks out. Of course, they're going to spend $73 million on sending checks made out of thin air. Does that make sense? What is it going to pay for? It's not going to pay off your debts. It's not going to pay off your credit cards. It's not going to make your, you might make one or two house payments or pay a portion of one bill. Can't buy much food for it. You can't even buy food. All you can buy is chemicals and additives and colorings and packaging and toxins. Now the state of California is starting to fluoridate their water. Now, that's the new news. They're talking about increasing the amount of fluoridation in all the water worldwide. And then recently, I heard this actually while I was in Florida. I caught wind of this. I don't know how true it is, but contemplate this for a moment. It sounds like everything else they're doing. They're talking about taking the wastewater. We're talking about what's called the black water. Taking that and sterilizing it, or taking your waste, your urine and your feces and whatever else ends up in the sewer, and reintroducing that into the water supply. Someone asked me what I thought of that, and I commented, well, it seems to me that they haven't gotten the water thing down now. Why would they attempt that? They haven't been able to create pure water, yet they're touting this as, well, this is a new way for us to recoup water. Let's think about this now. Al Gore says that we're suffering global warming. All the ice is melting. Where is that water going? It's supposedly reaching dangerous levels that could flood the lands. Where is this water going? How much would it cost to desalinate ocean water and to purify ocean water? Of course, we have fish that are contaminated with mercury and God knows what else. So we're killing all the life in the ocean, but it's not the common man that's being blamed for the global warming. It's the corporations that are doing it. It's the oil companies and the chemical companies that dump unrestricted amounts of toxins into our water supply, our rivers, our streams, our lakes, our ponds, and our oceans. Oh, but they control the high seas. Then we have, you know, the drug trade. Let's talk about the drug trade. Let's talk about the pharmaceutical lobby and the oil lobby. These people are bent on nothing more than bribing congressmen into passing laws, into creating legislation that gets them off the hook for everything. Another thing I heard, I don't know if this is true. If it is, again, we should be appalled that the president had already pardoned himself for war crimes. I have to look into that. I had heard that. The source I heard it from made me think that it wasn't a rumor, but these days you don't know. They just put out anything and look to see who they can embarrass by getting them to talk about it. They're attacking all the people in the alternative media. Everyone on the internet's a kook. Yet the media themselves have their own websites, so I guess they're kooks too. They're kooks, but we're not allowed to say that. That's un-American. That's unpatriotic for us to say that the corrupt, propagandized, mind-controlled media, conspiratorial, by the way, because they receive bribery payments, hush money, to not report certain events. They're not nuts, even though they have websites too, even though they use the internet and they attract a lot of viewers and listeners and readers through their internet sites. And they advertise on the internet, but they're not nuts. They're not wackos and they're not kooks. They're just what? What are they? Let's peel the onion a little bit more. This is my state of the onion message. They're traitors. They're conspirators. They're phony. They're prostitutes. That's what they are. They've sold out their souls for a little bit of comfort now without even considering the consequences later on. Now, when we look at what's going on with religion, you've got figures like John Hagee saying we should be over there bombing Iran, promoting Israel, promoting Zionism. Zionism is not being Jewish or not being Judeo-Christians or Judeans of the Hebrew faith. Zionists are masquerading as being Judeans. And they use the word Jew. They coined the word Jew, and they applied it to everyone, including the original inhabitants of Israel, the Israelites. But remember that Israel did not become an official nation until 1948. Isn't it interesting that a very large court was built there by the Rothschilds in Israel in the shape of a cross? And this court, it's obvious that the intention is eventually to turn it into a world court. Well, that can't happen until the Vatican and the Jesuits and the Opus Dei move in and rebuild a temple on the site of the Solomon's temple after the destruction of that site. They want to rebuild that so that they can bring their Antichrist into world rulership. It's quite evident the game that they're playing. Now, right now, there's a rift going on between various factions of the Illuminati, and they're stealing from each other. Of course, they don't report that to us. They blame the world economy now on a $7 billion ruse or fraud perpetrated by a vanilla trader, and we're to believe that while they thieve trillions of dollars. Iraq was a bank robbery, $100 trillion stolen from the Central Bank of Iraq. Pat Tillman, who forewent any future in the National Football League, gave up millions of dollars to go fight as a patriot in Afghanistan, was shot three times at close range. Friendly fire. You call assassinating the man friendly? He was assassinated. He was about to expose the corruption that was going on there, and they had to silence him. I'm not the first to talk about that, but let's not forget our soldiers over there. Let's not forget the ones that are coming back to the United States, suffering many illnesses from radiation exposure, from the depleted uranium put in the ammunition and all the bombs that they're using. This, by the way, is dropped on all the wonderful people that they're building the democracy for over there. The people that are learning the liberty that we have here in the United States. But they're not telling them how they eavesdrop on us. They're not telling them how they read your mail, listen to your phone conversations, try to hack your computers 24/7. They don't talk about that. They talk about they're going to have liberty and democracy like we have over here. That's peeling the onion. That's the state of the onion, folks. We have such short memories. We have so little consciousness. Now, I hope I'm not sounding like I'm chewing out the listening audience, because you listen to this show because you trust that you're going to hear the truth. And I'm not contradicting any other show that I've ever had where I've brought these facts out. These are not contradictions. What we heard tonight in that speech were absolute lies and obfuscation of the truth. Deception and concealment. Anything goes. Those are the rules that these people play by. They're the rules of their secret societies. Their Luciferian worship. Their satanic blood-drinking rituals at Bohemian Grove and at the Vatican. And I'm not attacking the Catholic religion by saying that either. You have many non-Catholics. The Pope himself is a non-Catholic. How can you be a Zionist and a Catholic at the same time? That's a contradiction. The Zionists are bent on destroying Christianity. It's time we start waking up. Now, Ron Paul asked us to wake up and take a proactive approach to supporting his campaign. We have scripted, like flies, they're dropping out of the campaign. We've had just a handful of primaries right now, and yet people are dropping out. They're running out of money. They have no support. You have one cross-dressing ex-mayor running for president of the United States about to drop out. And people, even after the New York firefighters exposed the fraud behind Rudy Giuliani, you have people still believing that this man deserves your vote because he was a hero on 9/11. They cover everything up with commissions, every assassination, every attack upon our country in one manner or another has been followed up with a commission, which is outside the law. And I say again, as I've said on other shows, that the assassination of a president is a murder, and a murder investigation should begin, and it should not cease until the murderer is brought to justice, or murderers. There's plenty of evidence who was behind President Kennedy's assassination, but because they formed the Warren Commission, that's supposed to make the whole problem go away. A commission has no legal authority. Oh, they're appointed by a president, but that doesn't make it legal. They handpick who they want because the intent of the commission is to cover up the truth. Now, why is it that there are no investigations? In fact, many of the murderers behind the assassination, the conspirators behind the assassination of President Kennedy, are still alive. One became a president. Why is there no investigation? Plenty of people gave their lives for telling the truth about what they saw on that day, November 22nd, 1963. And what's interesting is someone who worked for the CIA says he doesn't remember where he was that day. All the listeners, I'm sure, tonight remember where they were. And yet this man became president of the United States and declared in the early 90s it was time for a new world order. The world was ready for this. Oh, that we're supposed to bend over and take it from the fascists, from the Nazis. And they told us this ruse when the story came out about Operation Paperclip, that 50,000 scientists were brought here to the United States because they had so much knowledge, and they were going to help us so much. But they didn't talk about the 200,000 or more spies that they brought over from the Nazis and how they overtook the government, actually how they started doing it in the early 1900s. And I documented that in an article on January 22nd, 2007 in the Idaho Observer. And you can go to my website, directlightproductions.com, and read it, or you can go to idaho-observer.com and read it, or you can go to rents.com and read it, or you can go to Conspiracy Planet and read it. It's all over the web. It's worldwide. This is not the first time I've talked about it, but it bears repeating that you can read about how they started the Federal Reserve and how Nelson Aldrich really committed treason by allowing a foreign entity to come in and start a business out of being our bank, when our Constitution says that only the U.S. Treasury can create money. So this has been our history for over 100 years, folks. You can go back to the days of Abraham Lincoln, and you can tie his murder to the Jesuits. And by transitive property, you can tie the Vatican to that, too, as well. Every time we had a president that wanted to reestablish the gold standard as the basis of our economy, they were assassinated. Now, Ron Paul's asking for the same thing. Is this what's going to happen to him? Are we going to allow this to happen again? Well, they're trusting you're still drinking the tap water and taking the medicines, the sleeping pills that they bombard you with night and day. That's if you're sitting in front of the boob tube. Of course, they get it into the radio and the magazines, too, and the newspapers. So pretty much wherever you go, the propagandized, controlled media, controlled by four or five major corporations throughout the world, is going to make darn sure that you get drugged. And just to double-check, they spray the skies with chemtrails. Coming back from Florida, I witnessed chemtrails everywhere. Didn't see so many in Florida. I saw one huge one one day on a sunny day. Just stretched across the whole sky and stayed there for hours. But as I drove north through Georgia and through Tennessee and through Kentucky, as I got northward, more and more chemtrails. X's in the skies and V's and checkerboards. I mean, that's not natural. And then in a short time, everything became overcast. And we know the poisons that are in there. But we're supposed to just act like this isn't happening. Don't say anything about it. We can't protest this. This is for our benefit. How is this for our benefit? These people are psychopaths. running the world today, and it's about time that we stand up and take a stand. And I've used up all of my time. I've got more to say on this issue tomorrow. I'm going to review the president's speech, the State of the Onion, and we are going to peel some more layers on that tomorrow evening. I also have a very interesting guest coming up this Wednesday, Mr. Rick Nelson, and we're going to report on the Stan Romanek case. It's a paranormal ufology type of story. You don't want to miss that. And I'm working on a guest for Thursday. Friday, we're going to have Jim Murray on Evident Footprints, and we are going to continue our discussion of hidden technologies that would benefit mankind. Despite what we heard tonight, there are people who are developing things that are going to reach the market. I know that. And I'm sure you know that. If you believe and know God, you are going to bet on that. And with that, I want to thank you for listening. A shout out to Karen, Bob, and Bill, David, Zachariah, Sheila, and Jill, and the General. I want to thank all you folks for listening. Also, a shout out to Ken, Marianne, Michael, and if I forgot your name, I still remember you. Time has run out. So peace, love, and light. Have a good night. I'll see you tomorrow night. Bye now.